Radio Yorkshire, your home of rugby league. You know it makes sense.
Tell you what, let's go to the Menhose Jungle because Craig Murdoch was there on Thursday, obviously commentating for Radio Yorkshire. Craig, good afternoon for the first time.
Yeah, good afternoon, Rich. And just as you come towards the first time today, the stadium announcer gets cracking with the deadly noise that comes out of the jungle on game day.
As I'm always told when I'm working elsewhere and reporting from the jungle, can't you turn them down a bit? They are very, very loud in that stand.
Yeah, they certainly are.
It's nothing we can do about that, sadly, but... I laugh because I came over to you specifically at this moment because I knew it was going to be quiet, and then now it kicks off. It's like Phil Seymour there this afternoon.
I think it is, mate, yeah.
Oh, see, it works for anyone, that Phil Seymour. I thought it was a Wakefield fan.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ben Jones-Bishop's try. Was it over the line?
Well, Rich.
Or on the line, even?
You know, we're as far away as anyone, myself and Andy Kelly, and... You know, it's one of them. I'm not a big fan of the rule, Rich, if I'm being honest, where the referee makes a decision and then hands it upstairs and they've got to prove him wrong. I think we're about getting the decisions right. And, you know, if that's given as a no try, I think it's a no try. And if it's given as a try, it's a try, because, you know, you can't really see either way whether it is or it isn't. You know, certainly the footage that I've seen. So you look at it from one angle, it's certainly a try. You look at it from another, it's not. So, look, we're about scoring tries. So for me, it's a try, we move on. And you know, Lee in that second half weren't good enough, and unfortunately, you know, for the Lee fans, fortunate for Wakey were brilliant in that second half and they got the win.
It's almost a Jekyll and Hyde performance from Gareth Hawke, wasn't he? As good as he was in the first half, the second half not quite so, and I guess what we expect from Gareth Hawke at times.
I think he was excellent in the first half, and I think in the second half, I don't think he played bad, Rich. I just think that Wakefield were a lot more smarter. You know, in the first half, Wakefield allowed Lee to dominate the game, and I think in the second half that totally flipped, where Wakefield dominated the game. And look, like any forward in the competition, when you've got the petrol taken out of your tank from the amount of defending that you do, when you've got the ball in hand, it's a lot harder. In the first half, he was fresh, he was causing problems, he wasn't having to do much defending, and that flipped on its head. And you know, I'll give credit to Wakefield. I thought they were very good. You know, got to give the coaching staff there a lot of credit, because they turned it round at the half time interval and they came out a completely different beast in the second half.
It was a good debut, as you mentioned there in the press conference with Chris Chester, for Keegan Hurst as well. Certainly ran the ball in hard.
Yeah, I thought he did great, and I think, you know, it's a full credit to him, because, you know, the system that we have now, you know, certainly for the likes of Wakefield, who don't have a reserve grade, you know, that's Keegan's first proper run out for 4 weeks, I think. Now, you can do all the training you want, Rich. You can run around the field, you can get up and down, you can even tackle your teammates, but until someone's whacking you and trying to hurt you when you're running the ball in, and you're trying to hurt other people whacking them, you can never get that match fitness. And for the bigger guys, you know, that can be critical. And I thought he was very, very good on Thursday evening, and certainly, you know, he'll be in for a shout for another shot next week.
And Wakefield 8th, Lee 7th, and if you gave Lee 3 wins from 7 at the start of the season, I'm sure they'll be quite happy. Just disappointed with that they didn't get across the line in this one.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm a big believer in that, Rich, that, you know, you've got to set yourself realistic goals. And yes, they're disappointed with the performance in the second half on Thursday evening, but if you look at the season as a whole so far, you know, Lee and their club are really happy with how it's gone. You know, I think they've been competitive in nearly all the games. I think they've got a bit of a touch-up against Cass, didn't they? But, you know, they're not the only team that's done that. So I think it's been, you know, Lee have added something to this competition, and that's what I'm in favour of. I'm not 100% certain that relegation and promotion, in my opinion, is the right way forward, but when the team that comes up adds something to the competition, I'm all in favour of that, and Lee certainly have done that this year.
Are you in favour of teams being sold off to who's got the most money? Seats have come out of nowhere in the last few weeks, and everyone seems to be picking on Wakefield at the moment.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And, you know, like I said, I'm not sure about the promotion relegation. Yes, there's parts of it that I like and parts that I don't. I am 100% certain that that's not the way forward for me. You know, obviously, you know, I'm Cumbrian. I've not lived in Cumbria for over 20 years now, but I'm proud of my heritage, and I'd love nothing more than a Super League side in Cumbria. But in my opinion, they have to earn that. And you know, if we're talking about you know, Cumbria is a heartland of rugby. You're looking more Super League clubs, and there's at least one Cumbrian playing there. And you know, if anybody deserves a Super League franchise, it's Cumbria. But you know, I understand the reasons why that they haven't got one. And then just to go out and sell one to somewhere like Bristol or Coventry, and I'm just, you know, no disrespect to them cities, I'm just grasping names from that there has been a bit of, you know, speculation about. I think to sell one to them, that would really hurt in my book. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we'd love it if rugby league was a national game and we got the column inches and the sponsorships that our, you know, brothers in the union did, but unfortunately we're not. You know, we are what we are. We're an M62 Cumbria corridor game where the heartlands are. You know, we keep trying to progress and build, but I think we've got to make sure that our foundations of our game are solid before we do that. And you know, Wakefield is a massive rugby league heritage place. It's, you know, it's there on merit, you know, for them to sell their franchise, and I don't think they'll do that. You know, Michael Carter has done a fantastic job at Wakefield in steadying the ship in really, really difficult times. And you know, all he wants, you know, speaking to him is, you know, he wants some help to try and add something to the city of Wakefield, and I don't see him selling that franchise further down the line, and I hope I'm right.
Well, I hope you're right as well, certainly I hope you're right. And by the way, they were talking on TV, we might be sold to Cumbria, so we'll see what happens there. Good news for you from Cumbria anyway. Whitehaven are leading Oxford 30 points to 4, almost half time in the Challenge Cup, in that game delayed from last weekend. I'm not going to battle with Phil Seymour because he's got a microphone that's louder than mine.
I think he's stopped now, mate. I think we've got a couple of minutes before the next young lot of girls come on and do the dancing. But it's a great experience here at Cass, isn't it? You know, and we talk, you know, obviously there's a lot of talk, you know, about the franchise systems, about grounds and about how they generate money. And, you know, obviously Wakefield, you know, find that really difficult too, apart from match day. You know, the ground isn't really used for anything else. And there's a bit of that here at Cass as well, isn't there? But the chalk and cheese, aren't they, where, you know, they both have seen better days. I don't think there's any argument on that front. But, you know, the atmosphere that this old place generates in Castleford, you know, it is by far my favourite Super League ground. It was great to play here. You know, it's great to come now in a media capacity and sit at the back of the old rickety stand, you know, with the speakers blaring and the stadium literally shaking in front of you, and you don't know whether it's going to fall down. But it's a great place to play rugby. It's a great place to watch it. And I, for one, will sadly miss this old place when it's no longer here in the next couple of years.
As they say, Craig, there and Bellevue, they have soul.
They do.
They may not have fancy toilets and, you know, great facilities, but they have soul.
They do.
They certainly don't have much leg room in the press box at Castleford, but that might be just me, in fairness.
I was going to say, that doesn't really affect me, Rich. That doesn't really affect me, buddy. Only being knee-high to a grasshopper, I'm fine on that one.
What the hell is that? Brass band music? It's Sunday. Get the rugby league on.
Well, they're still doing the whole Sweet Caroline thing at the Mender Host Jungle, so we'll be back there in a couple of moments' time. Full-time scores then from around the rugby league world on this Sunday afternoon. And it's a victory, of course, for the Castleford Tigers. They beat the Catalan Dragons 43 points to 26, having been 14-0 down in that contest. In the Championship, Batley 50, Oldham 10, Bradford Bulls 56, Dewsbury Rams 18, Featherstone Rovers 26, Toulouse 34, Hulkington Rovers 28, Halifax 14, London Broncos 28, Rochdale on Hornets 8, Swinton 24, Sheffield 28 in League 1, Keighley 21, Toronto 48, South Wales Ironmen 20, Newcastle 26, Workington Town 54, Gloucestershire 22, York City Knights 22, Crusaders 26, and in the Challenge Cup, Whitehaven 46, Oxford 14, so Whitehaven will host Halifax in the next round of that competition. At RL on our Y, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon here live on Radio Yorkshire until 6 o'clock. And don't forget, tomorrow night from 6, it's Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. 2 hours of good, honest Rugby League debate, which no doubt will be lively if you've not been on Facebook and if you've not seen David Fifita mocking Gary Schofield and Scurry having to go back. We'll talk all about that and much, much more between 6 and 8 tomorrow here on Radio Yorkshire. 2 live commentaries next weekend. On Friday night, we're back at the Mender Host Jungle, Castleford versus Huddersfield. And on Sunday, It's Hulkingston Rovers versus Batley. Let's head back to the Menderhose Jungle. Well, hopefully he's not singing, but Gary Schofield will still be there. You're not singing, are you, Scully?
No, I'm not Rich Dunn. Craig Murdoch, easy with me as well, Rich. But no, not singing the Sweet Caroline. Hey, do you know what as well? I didn't know. I was watching West Tigers this morning play Melbourne Storm, and that's what they sing as well. That's what they. Yeah, at the old Leichhardt Stadium. It was great to see the Leichhardt this morning. Absolutely chock-a-block, but unfortunately we didn't get the result. And I say, the Melbourne Storm, we were leading 40-0, but Melbourne Storm came back to beat us 22-14. But yeah, at the Leichhardt over with the West Tigers. This is their song as well, Sweet Caroline. So, yeah, delighted to be hearing it. Delighted to be hearing it.
Must be a Tigers thing now.
Maybe so, something like that. But we'll be for sure here, Rich. Yeah, yet for 18 minutes. It's been a decent game with Rugby League. We'll be for sure here for 15 minutes. The Catalans were in total control, and Daryl Powell must have thought, boy, oh boy, what's going on here? So he decided to say, well, listen, I need to get someone in there. We'll have to do a bit of contact because there wasn't much coming from the Castleford players. And he sent the big man on Junior Moores, and he set the foundation. He set it right, certainly for that first 40 minutes in that first half there. For the next 25, they took control and certainly deserved the lead at half time.
Now, obviously, people were saying in the last 7 days after the defeat at Salford, the bubble has burst, and I guess at 14-0 down, they would have been asking a lot of questions of themselves, but that's some turnaround.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think, you know, I said last week, I don't think that defeat does them any harm whatsoever, mate. I think, you know, you're not, it's going to be realistically, they're not going to go through the season unbeaten, you know, and everybody, you know, just brings everybody back down to earth, you know, the Cass fans have been, you know, best season we're going to have ever, and, you know, we're the best team, and it just makes everybody realise, look, if we don't turn up against anybody in Super League, we lose. And you've got to be on your mettle whether you play Thursday, Friday, Saturday or Sunday. It's a tough competition, you know, and at the moment in time, Cass are generally fit, the key players are fit, Luke Gale's fit, and they're going all right. There's going to be times of adversity where they're not going to have as many key players out there, but for me, they're well as equipped as anybody is in this competition to win trophies this year.
Well, it's everything what we say, Craig. Nowadays, certainly from this season, what we've seen, if you don't not bring your A game in Super League for that full 80 minutes, you're going to get turned over. I know we said it a few times in the Championship, but certainly now in Super League, where everybody's saying, yeah, everything's getting a little bit closer, and if you don't bring your A game, then you're going to get beat.
And that's how it should be, Rich, in a salary cap sport. If you're losing a big part of your salary cap, you shouldn't be able to compete with the teams who are spending more money than you, should you? So that's the way it is. And, you know, that's amazing how Wigan won the competition last year with, you know, probably a third of the salary cap sat in the stand. But, you know, Cass are there this year. I don't care what anyone says, they're the real deal this year, and they really are going to take some beating.
They are indeed, and that game next up against Huddersfield next Friday. I saw Huddersfield on Friday night against the Leeds Rhinos, and I don't know what to make of Huddersfield this season. They have very good spells and very bad spells, all in the same game. We saw that 30-0 defeat at Lee. We've seen them draw at Wigan the week after. What have you made of the Giants so far this season?
Well, to be honest with you, Rich, I've not seen a lot of them, but obviously the reports, what I'm hearing there, I'm still not convinced that Rick Stone needs... he knows what his best side is. I don't think he knows what the best positions are for his players, and he just can't get that consistency in his team selection, in his team performance. And I say, you just can't turn up 1 week and then decide to have 2 or 3 weeks off. And as we've mentioned many, many times, if you don't play for the full 80 minutes and if you don't bring your A game, then you're going to get turned over. And, yeah, head scratcher. You know, they should have beaten Wigan last week, to be honest with you, by all accounts. And then I say, then against a lead side who, yeah, okay, they're playing all right, but you'd expect them to get a little bit closer from there. So it's a real head scratcher for Rick Stone, but for mine, for him, I don't think he knows what his best side is, and I don't think he knows where his best positions are for his players.
And what do we make of Leeds then? Because obviously 3 wins in a row now, joint top of Super League. After that heavy defeat there at the Menderhose Jungle, they've completely turned things around. Or is it a matter of the... I guess, as people have said, they played Castleford at the wrong time. They might have played Catalan, certainly Wakefield, and Huddersfield at the right time.
Well, yeah, maybe so, but to be honest with you. But, yes, we all know what Cass did to Leeds, but still, that performance, you still expect to get 66 points against, you know, because when you looked at that Leeds team on paper that night, it still was a quality team, you know, so you didn't expect it. All right, Cass was sensational, they were red hot that night, but from there were questions being asked, and as we know, the chief executive Gary Harrington put it out, well, the next month is going to be very, very crucial to what goes on at this club, whether there's going to be change or whether things stay as they are. And the reaction from the players and from the coaching staff has been pretty, pretty good. And the big test will be this Friday when they play Wigan. Okay, it's going to be a depleted Wigan side, as I say, but the players who have come into that Wigan side, they will be making sure that they'll be ripping into Leeds on Friday night, because it's always a big fixture of the Super League season from there. So Leeds won't be able to take Wigan lightly, that is for sure. But all Leeds have done, they've asked the questions what's been asked them after that performance against Cass. What, 40-odd points against Catalans, 40-odd points against Wakefield, and 30-odd last weekend. So they can only do what they've done. So they're hitting a bit of form, a bit of confidence, and they'll be looking forward to Wigan on Friday night.
Yeah, it should be a belter, shouldn't it? Especially with... I know they've got plenty of injuries, Wigan, but as we've said week in, week out on Monday nights, the Wigan youth system, they all play the same way. They all know what's expected of them when they're going to the first team. So there might not be the finished article, but at least they know what the game plan is.
Oh, absolutely. And I'd say the great thing about it as well, when the youngsters are welcomed into that first team dressing room by the senior players, and the senior players, you know, love it when the juniors are coming through. And certainly, and I say, they know they can step up to the mark as well. So it's not just the players being good enough, but it's having that confidence to be part of that winning philosophy what we can have there. And the great thing about it, the coach in Sean Wayne, he believes in these players who have come through that system. So there's no doubt that Wigan on Friday night, they'll be looking to come to Wembley to upset the apple cart from there. And whatever side and 17 Sean Wayne brings, they will be very, very competitive.
Speaking of Wigan, beaten by Hull, Lee Radford not very happy the fact that they nearly threw that game away. But I guess going into that game, it was a difficult one, wasn't it? Because obviously Wigan, we knew about all the injuries. Hull had to go there and win because all the pressure was then put on them again.
Oh, it was. It's you know, it's like when Hull went there, what, 2 years ago, wasn't it? And they had all the juniors, and then they nearly stole the victory after Wigan had took a great lead, not last season, but the season before, which was nearly the last game of the season. So, yeah, the pressure was all from there, and they were coasted 22-0 down. But Wigan, as we all know, they play for the full 80 minutes, and they don't give in. And, you know, the system, what they've got there, and they're making sure that whatever happens in that full 80 minutes, we'll see what we'll look at the scoreboard from then. So in the end, who will look at to get away with it? But still, you know, a win's a win. I know Radders wasn't too happy, certainly we with the ball skills, maybe what was going on Friday night, but a win's a win. They're under the radar. They're literally up there at the top of the league, where Leeds and Casford are and Wigan are still. So he'll be pretty happy underneath, but he'll be just wanting that more consistency in performance, whether it's in defence or on the attacking side.
You know, I've got the league table in front of me. Castleford top, with Hull and Leeds all on 10 points, Leeds having played a game more. Then come Wigan on 9 points, and then in fifth, and we talked about this last week, Salford Red Devils, they're having a great season. They've rewarded Ian Watson with a long-term deal as coach, which I think we're all very pleased about, because he does a very good job there at Salford. And finally, all the pieces of the puzzle are fitting into place. I see the good doctor was asking about you again on Twitter yesterday, asking people how good you were.
Yes, I've heard about that one, and I think I said, well, if it looks up on Google, then I'll find out maybe a few tries or a few tries that I created from there. But yeah, looking forward certainly to the day at the Chester Races on a couple of days we with a great doctor. But no, Ian Watson, and I said the great doctor himself, he's realised now that he couldn't carry on like he was doing, certainly interfering and signing players who realistically wasn't going there for the right reasons. He's got the right coach there now, got the right chief executive, and I said they're all buying into that philosophy, what Salford want from there. And Ian Watson fully deserves the 3-year contract, and my column tomorrow, it's mainly all about Salford in the decisions what Mr Kukas has taken. I've applauded him for what he's done. He's took a backward step, letting people who he employs to do, from a chief executive point of view, from a coaching point of view, of bringing players in there who want to not just play for that club but want to play for the coach in Ian Watson, and take Salford to where they want to get. So yeah, well done to the great doctor, well done to Ian Blees, and also to the coach staff and Ian Watson. And also, one thing what I do mention is that I don't think they're missing Tim Sheens, to be honest with you.
No, it doesn't look like it, does it?
No, they're not missing him one little bit. And I'll tell you what as well, I bet Ian Watson is very much relieved as well, because at the end of the day, Rich, it was always Tim Sheens this and Tim Sheens that and Tim Sheens this. You know, at the end of the day, Tim Sheens wasn't the head coach. He was only the director of rugby, but it all seemed to be Tim Sheens instead of Ian Watson, who was the head coach.
I've only spoken to him one-on-one 2-3 times maybe, and been in plenty of press conferences with him. Always impressed with Ian Watson, because he always comes across as a genuine, honest man when he talks about what's happened to his side. doesn't look to make excuses quickly as some of the coaches may do, and comes across as very enthusiastic, and you can see that must rub off on the players, and they've obviously got a good squad there at Salford.
Absolutely, and as I say, he doesn't make excuses, but also as well, Rich, he wants to play the game in the right way and all. You know, Salford, you know, when they're allowed to play, they're a very attractive side at rugby league, and you know, he's got competition for places there now. As I mentioned last week, when they beat Castleford, the way that Michael Dobson, Robert Louis are playing, because they know in the background Todd Carney's there waiting to take their spot, so he's got competition for places. He's got a happy dressing room, he's got players who'll be coming in there to work day in, day out with a smile on the face, and that's three quarters of the battle. If you've got a happy dressing room, you've got the team spirit, players who want to turn up week in and week out, then as I say, Salford for mine, well, they're an absolute shoo-in for the top eight. Can they make the top four? Well, I'll tell you what, it's all about that word. I'm going to be mentioning it loads of times tomorrow night. You know what it's going to be, Richie? It's consistency. And if they can get that, who to say Salford can't make the top four?
Indeed. And on the flip side of that one, it's not looking good for Widnes at the moment. Got that point, obviously, away in the south of France a couple of weeks ago. But still without a win this season. Points difference of over minus 100 now. And I don't know. How can Dennis Betts turn things around? I know they've got injuries, but every team has injuries. But they haven't got a great squad, have they, on paper?
No, they haven't. And okay, they've got a squad, but it's not a quality squad. And anybody who would get injured, then they've no quality to replace that. And also, too, they've no halfbacks, have they? You know, I think Jeremiah was playing there again at Friday night, and he come off injured after half an hour. So, no, it's a big hole for Dennis Betts. And he admitted it last week. And again, another big sign for Widnes, certainly from a supporters' point of view. Again, they got booed off at half-time. I think they were getting beat 30-0 at half-time, so the supporters themselves are getting a little bit upset. They're getting frustrated at what they're seeing there at Widnes now, and I said they're expecting better. But unfortunately, if you haven't got that quality, you're going to get turned out pretty convincingly week in and week out, and that's what's happening this moment in time. But they're not the bottom of the league, because the other ones nearer them is Warrington, and at the moment in time, they're a shambles as well.
Indeed, they. I mean, we'll talk about Warrington first before we talk about St Helens, because obviously that was a big result for them. But no one would have expected Leeds and Huddersfield to be down at the bottom end last season. But they did show something in some of those early games, even if it didn't quite, it wasn't quite consistent. There you go, for the whole season. But 6 defeats in a row for Warrington. If we scratch that victory over Brisbane, what is going wrong at the Warrington Wolves?
Well, one thing for sure here, the confidence has gone. They've no leaders out there, and when you look at on paper, you say, what do you mean, Scotty, they've no leaders? They've got Gidley, they've got Hill, they've got Ratchford, they've got Brown, they've got Sims. Well, I'll tell you what, they've no confidence, they've no leadership. And do you know what struck me? And OK, for half an hour, they competed, but they weren't creating a great lot. Now it was St Helens. But then when St Helens decided, you know, to move the ball around a bit, then Matty Smith took charge. And then after the third try, I was watching when they were under the sticks, and John Clark were giving them absolutely the rounds of the kitchen. And do you know what? The players weren't taking any notice. They wasn't even looking at John Clark. They were looking north, south, east or west, or thinking about, well, what am I going to do tonight, or what am I got booked here for the weekend? When am I going to take my mum and mother's day? They wasn't taking any notice of John Clark whatsoever. So for mine here, you know, somebody in that dressing room needs to take charge. OK, you can blame the coaches all you want, but at the end of the day, once the players cross that white line, they have to take responsibility for their performances. And for mine now, them Salford players, as individuals and collectively, are not taking responsible for their performance. They've no confidence, no leadership. Yeah, on paper, boy, oh boy, should they be in that position? No, they shouldn't. But if you don't want to turn up week in and week out, you're going to get turned over. And the reason why they're at the bottom of the league, it's simple. The league table doesn't tell lies. It's simple. They are the worst team in Super League. And they've got two big games coming up now, two home games. They play Hull and then they play Leeds a week after. And then Warrington fans, they will be looking, they will be expecting 4 points. And if not, the pressure really is going to be on the coaching staff then.
I think Kieran Cunningham was perhaps saying, you know, wait until Matty Smith comes back. And, well, I guess he was proven right this week.
Well, without a doubt. And as we all know, that's the reason why Kieran tried, I think, nearly for 2 seasons now to get him from Wigan. And he's got his man. And we all know in pre-season that he broke his leg. But, once they've got him back now here, you know, Saints with that forward pack, what they've got, the mobility. And now they've got Matty Smith to get him around the park. And certainly from his kicking game. Yeah, St Helens won't be in the bottom four too long. There's no two ways about that. And they say the main man's back. Kieran's happy. I'm delighted for Kieran because, again, as I questioned Sid Tallins, and this is what I question here now with the Warrington players. Them Warrington players are like the Saints players a couple of weeks ago. You're all right talking the talk, but you've got to start walking the walk. Sid Tallins players now, they're starting walking the walk. Delighted that Kieran's got the smile back on his, face. And Warrington players now, stop talking. It's time for action.
Now, one swallow does not make a summer. How many predictions did you get right this weekend, Scotty?
Five out of six.
Which was the sixth?
Lee let me down.
Lee let you down.
For 40 minutes, I went all right. Eh?
Who got six out of six? I got six out of six because I had faith in Wakefield because last time I backed
you didn't have faith for you. You didn't have faith for half time. Richard Shaw, right? So don't try and
I didn't have faith at half time, but Chris Chester turned things around. So all the credit to the coach and the players for doing so. And it was a very good second half performance from Wakefield because Lee were very good in that first half.
And they battered Wakefield, to be honest with you, didn't you? And I say I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall in that dressing room for Wakefield because, as you just mentioned there, Richard Shaw, right, yeah, Wakefield turned it around in that second half. And, yeah, they were very good. They were very, very good, to be honest with you. And did you know what? Do you know the great thing about Wakefield? All right, the forwards were getting battered, but they turned it around in that second half and the forwards got stuck in. But do you know what? It might be the slowest half-back that's ever played Super League. But I'll tell you what, Richie, he's got one of the quickest and smartest brain. Liam Finn, how important is Liam Finn to that Wakefield side? The way he gets him around the park, the way he took the pressure off. Jacob Miller, when he came off, he took the pressure off. Sam Williams, and for mine, he was easy, head and shoulders, Wakefield's best player. OK, maybe not in the first half, because the rest of them, you know, were pretty ordinary, but in that second half, he took charge, made all the right decisions, and I tell you what, it's an old quote what Jack Gibson, you know, used to say about Peter Sterling, and people used to say to Jack Gibson, you know what, Sterling's not very quick. You know what Jack Gibson said? I tell you what, no, he's not very quick, but one thing for sure, how quick is he between the ears? And that's exactly what Liam Finn is. And for mine, he's the most important player for Wakefield. If Liam Finn plays more minutes, well, Wakefield, who knows? They could quite easily make the top eight. But one thing for sure here, we'll be discussing Wakefield a lot more in detail tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the whole...
Not yet.
Into tomorrow.
Cause we are indeed.
Got to tease the list. If they've not seen the video, it's up there on Facebook. Go and watch it now. So Wakefield 8, Lee 7th. And as I was saying to Craig before the game, and Lee, Neil Duke's obviously very disappointed with the defeat on Thursday, but their season overall, 7th in the table, 3 wins from those 7 games. Their points difference is -3, which shows they've not had a bad start to life in the top division once again, have they?
No, well the average, but to be honest, yeah, but Neil Jukes would be absolutely furious, to be honest with you, that performance, certainly that second half, because it was Lee of old, wasn't it? The indiscipline. And even in the first half, they were in total control, and then Wakefield got themselves back into the game by three or four silly penalties from Lee, which Wakefield got themselves back into it, you guess, a little bit in that first 40 minutes. But then in the second half, all right, yeah, the enthusiasm from Wakefield after, I would imagine, that the rounds kicked from the coach Chris Chester at half time, but the indiscipline from Lee in that second half, and I say it was shocking, and they need to iron that out very, very quickly, because all right, they might have got away with it with the quality of players they've got in the Championship, but they won't get away with it in Super League. And when you think about it, Lee, overall, you'd say, should they beat Wakefield on Thursday? Yes, but I guess that's maybe debatable. They certainly should have beaten Lee if Ataya had passed that ball. Certainly should have beat Leeds, sorry, if Ataya would have passed that ball. So that looking an extra 4 points, you know, and I say it's just the little things. If they get the little things right, then yeah, for mine, they will make the eight as well.
And they've got to be on their ball on Saturday because they play witness, and obviously it would be easy to go into that game being very complacent, but Neil Duke's, Paul Cook and the rest of the staff will be at them all week after that performance in the second half, and won't be tied to win the Vikings on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, absolutely. And as I say, he'll be looking for a reaction with Dukes and Paul Cook as well, because, as I say, for 40 minutes they were good, and then for the second 40 they were pretty ordinary, letting themselves down there. So, yeah, the attitude, I wouldn't imagine that word, attitude and discipline are the big word for Lee this week in training. And, yeah, if they do that and do it for 80 minutes, then there's only one winner for mine, and that's Lee beating Widnes.
In the Championship this afternoon, big win for Batley over Oldham. So they're starting to find their form ahead of the trip to Hull KR next week, who edged past Halifax. To lose beating Featherstone, a bit of a surprise on the road, because we know how good Fev are at home, but to lose starting to find their feet. Bradford edging closer to zero, hammering Dewsbury in the second half. London beating Rochdale, and Sheffield winning away at Swinton, big result for them. And Toronto remain unbeaten. They won away at Keighley, although it was a close game in the first half. and at York losing to the Crusaders. So that championship table now, it's not looking good for the Dewsbury Rams with that defeat today, because Bradford now just 4 points behind them. But Hull KR remain unbeaten at the top of the table. Toulouse now second, Featherstone third, London fourth, which I think is the top four I picked in that division, and Batley up to fifth. So that should be, I know Hull KR are going to go in big favourites next Sunday. That should be an entertaining game against Batley, shouldn't it?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And as I say, yeah, with that championship, it's at times, you know, it's even more competitive than you would say at Super League, from a point of view where, you know, if you don't turn up for the 80, as we've mentioned a few times now, that and you don't bring your A game, then you're going to get turned over. So, yeah, that should be a good game next week, Hull KR Batley. But I'll tell you what, Richie, you was telling me earlier that my son had a quiet word with you on on Thursday night, and tell me to forget about laptops, and I don't know nothing about laptops. Well, I'm going to be telling my son again, as listeners have heard a few times now, you can't coach. Listen, Jonathan, you can't coach on the laptop. Get the players out on the training paddock, because at this moment in time, son, Dewsbury are in dire straits.
Fingers crossed they can turn things around. Before I let you go, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about Wakefield. How impressed with you were the little step from Tom Johnston? He's grown into a bit of a good rugby player, not just the speedster, is he now?
Oh, sensational, wasn't it? And as I say, I think Mark Wilson said, oh, Tom Johnston, he should have gone down the sideline, but Tom Johnston, he had confidence in his own ability, and the footwork, you know, off the left peg to the right peg, back over to the left, and well, Ryan Hampshire didn't even know where he was going, did he? And no, he was, yeah, great footwork, great winger, Tom Johnston. There's no two ways about that. You give him opportunities, and we know he's got pace to burn, and you give him an opportunity with a little bit of space, then he's going to punish sides. And he's not the finished article yet, Tom, but one thing for sure, I'll tell you what, if England did get a winger crisis, he wouldn't have let anybody down in England's shirt. Yeah, delighted for him.
Well, I mean, obviously, I hope he stays at Wakefield forever, but you look ahead to that England game against Samoa in mid-season. If Wayne Bennett perhaps might want to choose players from around the league, trying to spread the load with the two Easters and whatever, he wouldn't do a bad job for England against Samoa, would he?
Not at all. No, no. And is he only taking three from each side or something like that? So, no, Tom Johnston, if he wants to look at other people to give him the sort of experience what they need at international level, yeah, pick him for mine.
We've got to get him before he's in the Germany side anyway. That's what we've got to do before he becomes internationally blocked.
Why is he...
He's born in Germany.
What, with a name like Tom Johnston?
Tom Johnston. Him and the Kynhorst.
Yeah. Well, Kynhorst sounds it, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Tom Johnston is German, yeah.
No, we've got to get him for us. Yeah,
yeah, I guess, does he count as a foreigner playing for England? Is he all right?
Move on.
I'll leave you with that quandary. Scarry, you're back with us, mate. What did you say, the column's about Salford?
Yeah, the column mainly about Salford, and I think a little bit about Wakefield. But anyway, but I'll tell you what, one thing for sure, I'm very much looking forward to the radio show tomorrow night, 6 till 8.
There's a big empty chair in the corner, so if you know, if he wants to come in, we're not going to name him, but if he wants to come in and call you an idiot to your face, there's a chair there for him.
Well, I'll name him. Come on, Mr. Feeter. Mr. Feeter, come and have 2 hours of scoey.
Gary, as ever, thank you very much indeed, and we shall catch you again tomorrow.
Look forward to it, Rich. Thanks very much.
Gary Schofield there, Rugby League Hall of Famer.